ho, ho! Merry Wrightsmas!
Oh, Colton, we don't have to do that again.
It's the holidays, and I'm not Colton, I'm Santa.
No, you're Colton. This is a little silly.
My friends, Rob and Colton, as they discuss the Charlie Brown Christmas and Willie Nelson's pretty paper.
All right, thank you, Santa, but the intro's almost over. We gotta start the show. Colton. Colton.
Ho, 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 ho.
What's that
welcome.
You all hear?
Ho,
yes,
ho,
welcome.
Ho, ho.
Where's Colton, though?
I
heard Santa.
Oh, come. I'm
it doesn't have
Colton's
to be a new character.
Place.
Doesn't have to be a new character. Sorry.
Did you hear
bad.
my panic where I was like, oh, no.
Oh,
this
crap.
Is a mistake.
You got the beard.
If I ever have a Santa beard, like if I am older with a white beard, and mm-hmm. like people like mistake me for Santa, that'll be it. That'll be the end of me.
That'll be the proudest I've ever been for you.
I want to say Merry Christmas, but I feel like I need to say Happy Thanksgiving instead. So what do I do? We're recording this in November, but this is our Christmas episode. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody. And whatever, Christmas and Thanksgiving, they kind of bleed together. Some people start listening. That's the only weird thing about this episode for me is I don't usually listen to Christmas music until after Thanksgiving. But because we wanted to keep up with the times for everybody, we're listening to Christmas music before Thanksgiving.
I'm in it. My holiday transition is I'm still celebrating Halloween, more or less. And then I'm like fully out of it, and I just gradually move into Christmas. There's no real Thanksgiving. I don't know. I'm eating more gluten. I ate like a ton of gluten today. That's why I'm so like, whew. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling a lot better. Yes.
Do you want that out? I don't know if you want that out in the public.
It's quite all right. Just, you know what, a PSA for everybody out there. COVID is alive and well. Don't think that it's gone. Man. I thought for sure I'd be somebody when I got COVID who would be like, okay, I just tested positive, but I'm fine. No, I was bedridden, everybody.
Oof. You look a lot better. I think you and I were recording earlier in the week doing some like last minute kind of snippets of things. And mm-hmm. you looked a little worse for wear. You look excellent right now.
Thank you. Thank you, man.
Some red in your cheeks.
That's just my seborrheic dermatitis, but thanks, man.
I'm batting 1,000 today. I really am. This is great. Merry Christmas, my man.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you,
I've
too.
I've never called you my man before. I don't know where that came from.
That's all right. I never really used the term baby until we started doing this podcast or else. And I have to end things with just like, that's the way it goes, baby.
That's why we don't record on any day other than a Sunday. We literally can't talk to each other.
No.
Any other day.
I would have been more prepared for this if we were recording tomorrow, but you were like, we got to do it Saturday. All right.
I just couldn't not talk to you about Christmas stuff. And to show you how much I couldn't wait to talk to you about Christmas stuff, like we have a few things on the docket today about everybody.
This is going to be fun.
We have our first annual. I don't even know if we're going to get a second one. I guess we'll find out in a second.
Annual, baby.
Annual, my man. My man. My guy.
Yes.
We have our first, potentially last Christmas song draft. Mm-hmm. And we'll break it down for those who are unfamiliar. All of our sports talk haters, we're trying to meet you some middle ground here.
Yes.
This is our attempt to do so. And then we're going to talk about our favorite Christmas records.
Yep.
Yeah.
Specifically one each. Yes.
Yes. Yes. That's right. I have a Charlie Brown Christmas, the soundtrack by the Vince Guaraldi Trio. And what is your pick again for today?
I just want to, just before you say that, that's an excellent choice. And mine is Willie Nelson's Pretty Paper, which is,
it was an excellent choice.
I think it's fine. Yeah. But we'll get into why we chose these a little later.
Of course. But now this seems out of place, but I asked you permission before. This is like mm-hmm. as topical as I can be. We are not a topical podcast. We are on by design, right? We talk about things in the past tense. But right now, there's a lot of fervor around the Andre 3000 release. Did you hear about that, Rob?
I did. Jethro Tull 2.0.
And you, like, well, I both of us, I don't hate Outkast. I think you have way more Outkast real estate than I do.
Sure. Yeah, true, I love Outkast. Yeah, probably.
I probably Stankonia is the one I love the most. I know that's a great one, but I know there's a lot of deeper cuts that people appreciate more than I do. And I've always been more of a Big Boy guy anyway than an Andre 3000 guy, even though he's like universally acknowledged as the better MC.
Yeah, it's always been difficult for me. I don't view like Andre 3000. I think he's a really good MC, but my favorite stuff by him is not rapping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I find him to just be a really creative artist. That's something I'm more.
And that's the thing. So if you're, I don't know how you're unfamiliar with this person listening to this. You might be if you're, I don't know, someone who doesn't pay attention to music news, which I'm happy for you to do that. Mm-hmm. But he releases New Blue Sun, which is out of nowhere. New record by Andre 3000.
Was it like 17 mind. Years?
It might have been, yeah. So, because what was the last one? It wasn't Love Below. It was.
In my head, it is Love Below.
It might have been, yeah. But it is a like fully instrumental. Like most tracks are, I think there's only two tracks or so that are under 10 minutes long. I think of the term spa core, but there's other. It's not jazz. I think people have labeled it jazz.
Spa core.
I like
you're coming up with a lot of new cores. All you have to do to come up with a new genre is add core after some statement,
yeah,
or just some genre. Yeah, that's
but cool. You know what, when I say spa core, everybody immediately knows what I'm talking about. They're like, uh-huh.
I would have called it elevator core, but fine.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. I listened to this last night. It was in a dark room. I was relaxing. I'd been working a lot, so I was trying to take the load off. It was totally dark. I was drinking a gluten-free beer, and I was ready to relax. And I am maybe about as good an audience for this kind of a record as possible. Mm-hmm. And I was excited because, like you, I always appreciate Andre 3000 as just a creative entity, right? Yeah. Like, I want to know what he's into. And I really respected why he wanted to do an instrumental record. There's, like, a short blip of an interview I saw where he talks about how, like, the term hip-hop, the first part of that is hip. He's like, and there's just something as an MC, you have to be like just in the current for like lingo and how people are talking. And I think he's not saying it necessarily, but it feels like the implication is it's about the youth, right? And there's a youthful energy to hip hop that
I can get that.
Should be. It's like punk, right? It's the same idea. Mm-hmm. And he's like, my heroes as MCs, as they get older, when I hear them rap and try to sound like younger rappers, it's really embarrassing. And he was like, if I was to try to rap again, it would come off as clunky and as like me trying to be and trying to catch like younger hip hop listeners. And he's like, and I didn't want to do it.
That's fair.
I feel like that was kind of shots fired at Eminem, but
that's exactly what I was thinking. But at the same time, it's not like Eminem went into mumble rap.
No, yeah. But and also, what new Eminem record is like super fire? Oh God, please don't diss track me, Eminem. I love you. So
yeah, that's the one thing that Know Your Rights needs is a diss track from Eminem.
That would be pretty great. That would be funny enough, low light and highlight maybe of my life. But
I wonder which one of us will get it worse.
Likely me.
That's my hope. That's what I've been trying. That's what I've been building this entire.
We don't need to do a experience. Poll, a listener poll of your favorite co-host.
You know what,
but...
listeners? No, if you have an idea, please email us at know.your.writes.podcast@gmail.com.
Oh, please. How you spell rights again?
WRITES.
Oh, you already spelled it.
I did.
And that's another ding against me. I don't listen.
Clock that M.
Can I, but all of this is like way too much lead up. I didn't want this to take this much time. That record is it's a hard listen.
Yeah, it's not that good.
I mean, I'm so game for it. And I feel like I'm about as great of a listener for that kind of record as possible. I love long, weird experimental stuff. I've gotten way more into like lo-fi, like very airy, open, like Japanese minimalist music from like the 80s and 90s. I found it through YouTube like most people, and I'm like so in it. It's so great. And like Brian Eno, who is another kind of great electronic artist, that is my jam currently. And I am not as well versed in like spiritual music in that as others likely. And I know he worked with a producer who was like well known in that field. man, it's not good. And it's kind of crazy that people keep talking about how good it is. That's what I wanted to take this time to do. Everyone, it's okay to tell a great artist that we miss that we would rather not with whatever.
You hear that, Maynard? I'm sorry.
I don't even know if this will go in. It feels overly negative for a Christmas episode. It's been on my mind. I had to bring it up. Oh my God. So tell me this, Rob, yes. your typical Christmas. What are your favorite? Because this is your holiday, as we mentioned before. I'm a Halloween Christmas guy. I love Christmas, but you really love Christmas. What are your favorite Christmas boxes you love to check when it's Christmas season? What are we into?
Well, I don't know. Just it's really radio. I think rather than what I do for Christmas, because I'm not necessarily as festive. When we talk about how you're a Halloween guy, do you like to decorate and all that?
I say that I like to decorate. I usually don't want to decorate.
Exactly. Like, I'm not really going to be decorating, but I enjoy. I think what we were talking about a few days ago is Christmas music is only good like one time of year. It's really for about a month and a half that Christmas music is good music.
Yeah.
And I just enjoy that like stretch to where the idea of Christmas, the feeling of Christmas, the commercials, the watching the movies, all of that. I enjoy it for that month and a half.
It is. I think Christmas movies fit into that same umbrella. I was thinking about that too, where weirdly enough, like Casey and I have our new traditions where since we've been together, we end up rewatching all eight Harry Potter films, which are like not Christmassy, but somehow it makes sense that we watch it during Christmas.
That's strange. Yeah.
But I know, right? But my go-to is I have to watch Christmas Vacation at least once.
All right.
But do I feel like watching Christmas Vacation any of those other 11 months? No. Like, even it's November 18th, I don't feel like watching Christmas Vacation.
Our two albums that we chose, I would never listen to any other time besides this time of year. And yours isn't even like Christmassy entirely. You know, it's a lot more jazz.
I'll listen to, like, quick spoiler, I'll listen to like Linus and Lucy.
Of course.
But outside. But I get your meaning. And it's true. I don't listen to a Charlie Brown Christmas soundtrack like in April.
And it was strange because just full disclosure to everybody, today is what, November 18th?
Yeah, I already gave it away, unfortunately. I ruined the charade.
So last night, trying to get myself psyched up for this, it's like, I got to watch a Christmas movie. So I watched, A Christmas Story, right? It's a Christmas Story?
Christmas Story, yeah.
Yeah, with the BB gun. And the entire time watching, I'm like, I shouldn't be watching this right now. It's not time. It's not time. I haven't even had Thanksgiving dinner yet.
Can I posit something here at the top? Because this is a good, I think, intro to our Christmas song draft.
Mm-hmm.
Are Christmas songs good?
Once a year. Once a year.
I thought that more than once, and not like in a bad way. I enjoyed myself. This was maybe one of the more positive experiences like in a while. Like, I think Erykah Badu was the last time where I was like, I'm floating. I'm levitating right now.
You hear that, Andre?
But yeah, that's what I kept thinking is, like, am I listening to Willie Nelson sing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and enjoying myself and smiling at all any other time? And what does that mean about that song that I refuse to like it any other time?
Well, and it's so fascinating because Christmas songs have such a distinct sound that I was trying to dissect this and I really couldn't come to the conclusion. I'm like, what is the format? But you just know a Christmas, because I've written Christmas songs. I'm sure you have too.
I wrote one that everyone told me was not, which is true. I just put Christmas over the top. So
that makes sense. Yeah. See, whereas Default American, we have Christmas songs that when writing, I was like, this just sounds like a Christmas song. And I wrote the damn thing and I'm like, I don't know why or don't know what it's not like there's bells and chimes going off, which is really what I would attribute to a Christmas song.
I was literally about to say my number one signifier of Christmas is the ding, dong, ding, dong. And then the sleigh bell. Like, I think for a lot of like lazier songwriters, that tends to be what they do.
I don't know what it is, but there's just this distinct Christmas sound that I would say, yes, they're good songs. If you change the subject matter to Jingle Bells, that song's not going to be good. You could make it about any other, you could make it about, you know, like some childhood trauma. And it's like, no, it doesn't work. You can make it about love. No, it doesn't work. It has to be about Santa's coming. And that's the only way the song functions in a way that it's enjoyable, but once a year.
I agree. And I think that's, maybe you've heard this, like when people around you know that you write songs, like the number one thing I think I hear the most is, oh, you should write a Christmas song because you'll make bank if you get that into the public domain.
That's right.
I wonder like how that works. Like if it is in the public domain at some point, like I don't think, who's the guy who wrote Jingle Bells? James Pierpont. Is he raking in the dough? I have to look this up. It was written 1850 by James Lord Pierpont at Simpson Tavern in Medford, Massachusetts.
You said there's Jingle Bells?
Jingle Bells.
Maybe he has some other ones. I never heard of the guy.
No deep cuts for James Lord Pierpont. I don't know.
Can't wait for that hint next November when you're like, all right, Rob, here's your hints. He wrote this song in a cavern or whatever you say.
Yeah. I think the thing for me is there's such a weird alchemy to like what sticks like in the public imagination with Christmas, and so much of it, maybe more than any like subgenre of music I can think of. Like my thesis is that there is no objectivity in Christmas music. I think you could say I don't like it, or I don't like we're about to do our song draft, and I'm certain that we might have a couple that we both want, but I also know there's somewhere I was like, oh, I have to have that, and I don't know if you'll feel the same, and I don't know, I don't have any like rational explanation for why some of these songs I just like have to listen to and I love so much.
That's all right. Yeah, I would say it's about 50-50 for me on the list, which we'll get to the list in a moment. But just one last thing. Everybody, Default American on Bandcamp. Go and listen to, what is it, Frankenstein and Murray. That's our Christmas album.
Well, we were both included on Alex Pereira, funny enough. Yeah. I don't even know if that's up anymore.
I don't think that's how you pronounce his last name.
Almost certain it isn't. I think I screwed it up. Alex, I'm so sorry.
Alex.
But we were both on a compilation he put out, and I believe mine is Xmas Break, and it's long and depressing, but it's one of the only songs I've recorded in Dadgad, my favorite alternate recording or tuning. So let's get some. Can we get some fanfare for our first official Christmas song draft? All right, everyone. So I have, no one else can see this, but I'm going to go ahead and read out. We have 10 Christmas songs agreed upon by both parties.
Yes.
Robert McGregor and hereby Colton Saylor. I'm going to read out these Christmas songs, but essentially your typical draft structure. I have won the draft decider. My Golden State Warriors, even though they lost, managed to score 109 points.
How did I agree to it that way, Tori? If my team wins and still your team loses, but you got to get, but yeah, you got 109. My Lakers got 107. Still won.
The Thunders, we were up against, what's his name? Face Chet Baker.
Chet Holmgren.
Yeah, Chet Baker's a jazz trumpeter. Sorry, everyone.
He's got his mind on jazz. We'll get to that, everybody.
But anywho, I will be going first. We have 10 songs. And really the goal is which of us can get the collection of five Christmas songs, the strongest collection, and we'll ask all of you to vote for us. We're going to use our Instagram, and you can tell us
yes
which one you think is better.
Yeah, you can, and feel free to email. Well, I'll tally it up, and we think we might know what the punishment will be, but we'll decide that later.
I'm so happy that you didn't name it, because I was going to try to change your mind later. So we'll.
Yes, we'll figure that out later, but one of us will be punished for not winning.
That's fair. All right,
song draft. All right,
so here are our 10 songs we're going to choose from. We have Happy Xmas, War Is Over, and by the way, some of these are definitely tied to one artist, so John Lennon, right, of course, but
yes,
and some Yoko. Of these songs, right. And Yoko. I'm sorry, Yoko, I actually didn't know that. I don't know if some of these songs, of course, are tied to one artist, but others are like very public domain, and really we're not thinking of any particular version for most of them.
I have for all of them, if I get to choose it, or if it lands in my side and I get to pick it, I have specific artists who I will attach to it.
That's fair. Right. For some of these, I really don't. For others, I do. So I guess we'll just address it as we go. But Happy Xmas, War is Over is our first of the things. We have the Christmas song,
mm-hmm.
followed by Jingle Bell Rock. All I Want for Christmas Is You. Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. There's going to be a lot of Christmas coming up, everybody. Apologies. Last Christmas.
Yes.
The Chipmunk Song, Christmas.
Done by so many artists.
Yeah. I have to, when we get to that, I'm so excited. I don't know when it's going to come up, but I have to tell you the story behind that.
Okay.
Christmas Baby, Please Come Home. Melikalikimaka, Merry Christmas in parentheses. And then our 10th is Santa Baby.
That's right.
I don't have a great draft plan here. I have the first pick.
I believe you did a mock draft, correct, with Casey?
But with slightly different songs. But funny enough, yeah. Her and I don't think we. Well, no, I think we did agree on most of it. And yeah. I don't even remember what I chose first, to be totally honest. All right. So my very first pick number one.
Bing gong, ding gong.
I looked at these 10. Got to be Christmas Baby, Please Come Home.
Really? All right.
Oh, that's good. Just it has like all of that like Motown trap.
It does. It does. So you're going with Darlene Love, right?
Sure. I mean, if that is, I think that is the only original. Only original recording that's definitely in my head. It's beautiful.
It's a great song. Great song.
That straddles the line for me of, and I may have just like the power of like Motown songwriting, right? That it's got such like joy wrapped into it. But that's one of those Christmas songs where I'm like, I could probably listen to that other days, times of the year, and still enjoy myself.
I agree, but it does have the it's Christmas because it's got a little bit of the bells and whistles. Wow, that's really accurate describing a Christmas song.
but it's got the trappings; it does the job. Yeah. But I also like I feel like I'm, you know, it's like I'm eating something healthy that's good for me, and it's decadent at the same time.
And you're dancing; it's driving. I like that song. That's a very good choice.
All right, so what is your first pick?
Mine is going to be actually The Christmas Song by Nat King Cole. That song's beautiful.
Now,
just us roasting on an open fire. Oh, beautiful song. And Nat King Cole could just sing, man. That's a voice of a generation.
So for you, that's the performance it's always tied to.
That's it. Who I think of, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with that. And I was straddling the line between, not that my first pick is like super contemporary, but it's slightly more contemporary. The Christmas song is one of those like, it's like you're always gonna hear it, right? Every season.
Yes. Yeah, it's a classic. Nothing against yours. Yours is a little more. It's a slightly more obscure Christmas selection, but. The Christmas song, that's a classic. Everybody has that moment on Christmas Eve or on Christmas Day, right as it's all winding down, and they're about to eat chestnuts. Have you ever had a chestnut?
I probably have had it in the past, but we recently just roasted chestnuts around Halloween time. Pretty damn good.
How dare you take chestnut roasting and apply it to Halloween?
I was watching, I think, Scream 6 and eating chestnuts. It was great. And just like when I hear it too, like that's just the power of like good lyric writing. I don't have the lyricist available to me right now.
Yeah.
But just like super specific images. But that's like powerful, compelling writing, right?
Yeah.
That you're going to sect yourself into.
Yeah. And it's not necessarily corny. It's not that like corny Mariah Carey Christmassy. Like, I don't know. Mariah
Shots
Carey,
fired.
I should not have even brought her up.
Shots
enough with
fired.
Mariah Carey during Christmas. Have we not learned our lessons?
So now I have to come up with my second pick. I gotta make sure I know what's off the board here. Oh my God. Okay. Like in that vein, and also because I feel like I have to shore up my team with both the contemporary and the classics. I'm gonna go with Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
Very nice choice. Very nice choice.
It's one of the more somber Christmas songs. Like, and there's like a subgenre of that, right? in the Christmas pantheon, but it's definitely got that like melancholy tone. But it is very delicate.
It's remembering everybody. It's got like an Auld Lang Syne to it, you know, to where there's just the thinking of people who aren't there for this Christmas. And I'm sure we all have it just to bring us down. I'm sorry, but we all have those people we remember come holiday season. So
Oh my God. Right. Well, I feel like my choice is a bummer, but let's go on.
Pick number beautiful
two.
Song.
It is.
This was a strategy of mine, actually. I wanted to choose Christmas song because I figured you weren't going to choose the one that you knew I wanted to choose first. And so, yeah, happy Xmas. War is over. Come on, baby. John Lennon, Beatles. Of course this is in there. That's
can I talk to you about this song? Okay. This is like so...
Maybe you can.
This is like Know Your Rights core.
It
this
is.
This is the most up our alley as we could possibly be.
Yes.
Like, I don't get it.
Just admit it, dude. Kids are singing. You don't like it.
I don't like the kids singing. That's very true. And
you're not a
they're
fan.
Especially creepy sounding kids.
I can see what you mean, where the lyrics are a little bit of like, what are we choosing here? Is it Merry Christmas or is it anti-war? I think it's beautiful. It's a beautiful combination. Like, hey, Merry Christmas, but remember, people are suffering. Mm-hmm. John Lennon.
I do think that, to me, at least the street gets a little crowded. Again, I totally get the context, right? I think it's 1971, so it's somewhat fall. Is it? It's meant to be about the Vietnam conflict, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think for a lot of people at that point, war was not over, I think.
But it is if you want it.
That's true, yeah. And I think of, like, all the Beatles. I don't know. It's funny. I want to be like, yeah, John Lennon is the one I, like, appreciate the most as a songwriter. I think if I looked at all of them together, probably Paul McCartney.
Man, I don't want the Beatles to just... actually, I love the Beatles taking over it. But you Paul is this. More the whimsical one, and John's a little more the straight and, like, want to talk about, like, real social commentary. But Paul,
I find Paul to be the better lyricist. I think Lennon, I can see like he has his political intention behind his stuff that, I mean, it's hard to not be like into that, right?
Yeah.
But I think he got that from Dylan, I think is the.
Yeah. I would say John's lyrics are a lot more on the nose and Paul can be a little more imaginative.
I like how he used the word on the nose and not bad. That's
yeah. it's a little more straightforward. It's not the most, like, if you read it as a poem, it's not going to be as compelling. It's going
to listen to it in a song.
Let's just move on here.
No, but I do. The first time I heard this, and just to like shove it back in my face, the first time I heard Happy Xmas was in a Celine Dion Christmas album that my mom owned. And so for a very long time when I was younger, I thought the song was for Celine Dion. And I remember thinking, it's nice. So you know what? I should have taken it. It's a good fit.
There you
and
go.
Literally everyone who listens to this podcast is going to like that it's on your team.
Yes. I hope we get to make Colton do something embarrassing later.
All right. I have to pick this one. This was your late addition.
Damn it.
I got to go with the Chipmunk song. I got to go with it.
Damn
I'm
you.
Put it in there. Damn and here's
by who? Damn it. I shouldn't have done this to myself.
Did you what other Chipmunk song did you think I was talking about?
Well, no, obviously I knew it was this.
Okay.
This is going back to when you said most of these songs have multiple versions of it.
Oh, that's right. Well, so here's the deal why I had to have it on my team. I think you know this story, but I'm pretty sure I was talking to you about when I was gonna be proposing to my now wife. We had a conversation. So I was trying to figure out how I was going to do it. And it was in October, but her favorite holiday is Christmas, right? She loves Christmas decorations. She loves the vibe of it.
Casey. All right.
My idea was take my apartment when she comes to visit. We were long distance at the time, but we'd come every other weekend. Take my apartment, dress it up to be nothing but Christmas stuff, Christmas tree, which I got from my family. Just tons of lights everywhere. So it'd be Christmas in October. I have a little fireplace thing going on the TV, like totally surprise her. And then
I do remember this. Yeah.
And I realized right before she got there, I was like, all right. Oh, and I had her favorite Christmas movie going at the same time, which was The Santa Claus. Tim Allen.
Hmm, okay.
Yeah, right. Good choice. So, but I realized I need to have a Christmas song going, and I could not remember what her favorite Christmas song was. And so think of this setting that I'm trying to set, how romantic and perfect it is. I call her, she's almost there. And so I call her and I go, honey, I was just thinking about, because Christmas is coming up, like, what is your favorite Christmas song? I was like, mine is, and I think I just said a random song. And I was hoping she would choose, like, think of what is like the more romantic Christmas song you can think of. Like, name one, name anyone.
My next pick.
anyone, like White Christmas, anything that's just like very sentimental, right? And she's like, the Chipmunk song. She's like, I love that song. And I was like, of course you do. Okay. Yeah, so that's what I had playing when she showed up. That is a song that I proposed to my wife too, is the Chipmunk song.
It's that's very romantic. I'll never look at that song the same now, Colton.
Okay.
I love it. The me I want the hula hoop.
Oh, it's good. How smart of a thing is the Chipmunks? It's just like, let's just turn up the voices. There you go.
Oh, wait, the Beatles did do that.
It's going to be like South Park. Beatles did it. I'm looking forward to your third pick.
I'm so sad that it's even more heartbreaking because I'm the reason it's on the list. We put that in 2 days ago.
What is it? Possibly. I can't remember which one you're taking.
No, I'm saying the Chipmunk song.
Oh,
I'm the one who put that on the damn. Yeah. I thought we were playing fair. All right. I'm going to go All I Want for Christmas Is You. But I'm going to Vince Vance and the Valiants. That's right. I got specifics on this.
God.
And I'll be putting it on my list when we post this on social media.
Why not Mariah Carey?
Because she's had her day in the sun. Let's drown her in snow.
Oh my God.
I just miss flannel. I miss flannel, Mariah.
I didn't know all this was coming out. Wait, so what is the other one you're mentioning? What is this other version? I don't think I've ever heard it.
It's playing in the background right now.
Is this the same song?
But that's what it's called.
Oh, it's not the same song. Okay,
I want for Christmas.
It's all coming clear to me now. This one.
That song is beautiful. But that's what it's called. It's called All I Want for Christmas Is You.
You're right. I totally, I guess I, silly me. What I was going to say, if let's pretend for a moment that you chose the Mariah Carey version. Mm-hmm. Is that the most recent song to like become like a Christmas mainstay?
It's the most recent to be number one for the last century.
Which as we've said, is not like doesn't mean it's like an amazing song, but it's, I think that's like a weird achievement. And again, it's like, who knows how that happened other than just Mariah Carey can sing her butt off, which is true. But
could, yeah.
So much shade.
I know, Mariah
Carey. I don't know what's going on.
Be sure to put this up there because it's the only way we're going to get so many listens. We're going to have just the Mariah army.
There was an Eminem diss track against Mariah Carey.
Next year, I promise this to all our listeners. Next year, we're going to have Eminem and Mariah Carey Christmas episode. I promise.
We have to see. It's like The Secret. We have to envision it and then it will happen.
And it'll be our Christmas miracle.
Oh, Lord. Oh my God. I did not foresee this in our first Christmas draft. All right. Will you agree? I feel like the best songs are off the board.
Yeah.
I'm feeling pretty down on what's left. Man. You know, because I love Christmas Vacation, I got to go with Mele Kalikimaka.
All right.
Merry Christmas.
That's a cool. Is it the
don't ask me what version. I don't have a version. I just have.
Isn't it Bing Crosby? Isn't
it's possible.
I'm pretty sure.
This is I'm experiencing Christmas music. And I feel like the way most people do, where you're just like walking through a shopping mall and it's playing in the overhead speakers.
I got
just absorb it. Just but I think it might be Bing Crosby.
It's probably most of these, I'm pretty sure Bing Crosby did. Bing There's Crosby probably a it. Bing Crosby Chipmunk song. I can't wait to hear it.
It's and I can't tell you why I'm choosing it for number four, other than it was in that scene of Christmas Vacation that was funny.
But that's fair. That's fair.
All right, fourth pick for you. Go ahead.
Well, that was probably going to be mine. I've always had an infatuation with Hawaii, but you know what? I think I still have the better option here. I'm going to go with Jingle Bell Rock.
Interesting.
I mean, Home Alone. Come on. This is where it all, like, when I think of Jingle Bell Rock, I guess you can think of walking through a mall and Christmas shopping, but I think of Home Alone. I can't remember which scene, but I can remember at some point he's probably dancing it to Jingle Bell Rock.
He likely is. I'm yeah. almost certain. Yeah. I mean, it does have that.
Ching, 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 ching.
Okay, it's pretty good.
That's... Yeah, come on. Right away, you feel it.
I love, like, there is that, like, giddy up, pick up your feet. That's a pretty.
Yeah.
That's pretty great.
Yeah, okay. It's rock. It's Jingle Bell Rock, baby.
That's the rock. It's not your mom's Jingle Bell Rock. what do we got left?
We have two, and I really hope you choose one in particular.
Wait, we have Santa Baby. What's the second one?
The one you should choose.
I literally don't even know what the second one is.
There's just a bunch of Christmas up there, and you can't really see the words in between.
We have nothing. Oh, my God. That's right. Okay. I'm choosing literally. This is how much neither of these. We have Last Christmas and Santa Baby. I'm choosing Last Christmas because... Well, it's Wham, which I do know that. Mm-hmm. But Jimmy Eat World covered Last Christmas, and it wasn't good still. Don't know why. I think they tried, but it was as good as it was going to get. And so there you go.
This is so fitting, because when I said that I wanted to throw the Chipmunk song in, and you were like, well, which song are we taking off the list? What was the other? What's the one that I ended up choosing?
The one you requested was "Have Yourself a Merry." No. I'll be home for Christmas.
Yeah, I'll be home for Christmas was the one that I took off, but I really wanted to take Last Christmas off. That was the first one that I wanted. I'm like, no, I don't want to do Wham. So I'm happy. Santa Baby, give it to me. I love it. Santa Baby is a wonderful song, much better than Last Christmas.
I don't know. It's too suggestive. Nah, that's not what I'm here for Christmas for.
What, you're here for somebody, you know, taking your heart and giving it away?
Hey, it's lament, you know? That's just, I know, I feel like I have the I don't know. I can't characterize my track list. I want to be like, I have the downer Christmas list, but I also have the Chipmunk song, Melikaliki Maka.
Yeah, I think I like my list, man. I like my list.
Let's review it. So, Rob, your number one is the Christmas song. Well done.
Yes. Yep.
Number two is Happy Xmas. Number three, All I Want for
well
Christmas
done.
Is
well done. You well meant done. To say for
I
wasn't going to
compliment you on every single one. That was a blanket comment.
Okay,
you do a great job.
Thanks.
All I Want for Christmas. We have to make sure. Listeners, he is not talking about the Mariah Carey Love Actually one, the good one he's talking about. I had to look up their name again.
It's Vince Vance and the Valiants.
And the Valiants. Right.
I threw a twist at Colton because no, Mariah, you're not getting it. You're not getting it.
There's and like yeah, I'm just looking at the YouTube or page for Vince Vance, and literally everyone in the comments is just so proud of themselves that this is the version they like and that it's not the Mariah Carey song.
I will be sure to go on to that same YouTube and be like, hey, well, we got a podcast and we're taking votes.
Get the Vince Vance contention, the Vance heads, the Vance.
That's right. The Vance. Yeah, exactly.
You also have Jingle Bell Rock and you have Santa Baby. My five are Christmas Baby, Please Come Home, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, The Chipmunk Song, Christmas Don't Be Late, Melikaliki Maka, Merry Christmas. God, this is exhausting. And Last Christmas. By, yes. You know what? By Wham. Why not? But also Jimmy Eat World. I don't know. I think we both did a great job.
I think I really, honestly, listener, you know who won. Just let's.
So go ahead. Let us know, people.
Yes.
We'll put up places for you to vote or just tell us. Just text Rob. text Rob personally, call him in the middle of the night, call him please. Early in the day.
Yeah.
Like 8 or 9 o'clock.
You'll definitely get a response. All right.
Oh,
hey, dude, we did our draft. I like it.
Draft completed. We'll see if that's a success. We'll have more drafts down the line. I don't know. Yeah. That is our sports talk at the same time. There we go. Well, let's do this. Let us get going on our two records. This is now we've talked about this in advance. We're going to do a light version of categories. I think more than anything, as you mentioned, these are just two records that are near and dear to us.
Yeah.
Like most Christmas things, it's hard not to attach it to memories or that. We just want to talk about Christmas music with all of you.
Yeah. So what was your first experience with Charlie Brown Christmas, Colton?
Here's the thing. Having just said what I said, this is not a record I was listening to when I was little. Like this was like I was a fan of Peanuts. Like I've always been a fan of Peanuts.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never met a person who's like Charlie Brown. No, thank you. Like not like loves them all the time, but not like, oh,
it's an American classic. I mean, you gotta thank you, Charles Schulz. Thank
you. If you've been to Knott's Berry Farm, you have at least some nice memories, right? The Peanut Gang.
No, we got Charlie Brown's out here in Lancaster.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I just, as I get older and more, I just appreciate just that brand of entertainment. And I'm happy that it's still out there, right? And it's...
Man, like, isn't it... What I was reading the other day, it's like the most successful... It's pretty much the most successful Christmas album, according to Billboard.
Oh, I mean, I wasn't even thinking of the Christmas album at first. I was just thinking of how, like... resilient Charlie Brown, like Peanuts as a brand, has been
like
it's been a while. But the Christmas album, I was like aware of it. It was only when I want to say the last couple of years, probably in the last like 8 or 9 years or so, where like I actually started to like really put it on in the background every Christmas season. And it's also like it's known as like the gateway to jazz for a lot of people.
Absolutely.
Like which is great, right? I mean, that's what I associate Peanuts with anyway. That's why it's like, it feels like such an American institution, because it has one of the great American genres in it, right? It's hard to kind of disassociate the two. But yeah, I don't know. Like a lot of more recent, really lovely Christmas memories are wrapped up in that record. And just Vince Guaraldi, who I've like heard other things of his since then. And I am not like listener this episode. I really like jazz music, and I know that Rob does too. I don't think either of us would mistake ourselves for a jazz critic.
No,
so there's not gonna...
No, I would not go into a jazz club and try to act like I'm supposed to be here.
I know what I like and I know what I don't like.
Yeah.
And I like Vince Guaraldi's playing. Like, and I can describe certain things about what's to me is so pleasurable about it. But I think more than anything, it's just the vibe of that entire record is just so quaint and nostalgic and great. So, yeah, that's my, when you asked me my favorite Christmas record, even though this probably wasn't the most conducive one to a songwriting podcast, I had to choose that. I had to.
I thought it was an excellent choice. And also, for the most part, everybody, it's Christmas. We don't want to like. We're in the holiday spirit, and just I don't need to overthink.
We got all of our negativity out before. We laid some shade to Andre 3000 and Mariah Carey.
Yeah.
We're ready to avoid the coal in our stocking.
Yeah. Even though I do have a choice for worst song out of our two. It's so weird the format behind this. Because we are going to be doing, like, we both brought a record to the table, and we're still going to do best and worst song based off of the two.
I was actually going to give you one for each, was my initial plan. But we'll see. I mean, we'll see how it goes. I want to know why Pretty Paper was your first pick.
This is just classic nostalgia for me. This is the earliest. It goes back to when we were talking about Zeppelin, you know, and how that was the first vinyl that I, you know, held and like put down. That this is the first vinyl I can remember. I'm the youngest in my immediate family, so there's not many things I get to dictate for any holiday season or any of that. But this is the one that's for me. Every Christmas morning when we're opening up presents, we're gonna throw on Willie Nelson's Pretty Paper, and it's just gonna be me kind of listening to it in the background and then hoping I got a badass gift coming up. But yeah, it's just, it's Willie Nelson, man, and he's nice and smooth throughout it. I just, that's my history with it. Every Christmas is just, there have been 36, well, 35 days in my life where I know exactly what I'm going to listen to when I wake up, you know.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and that so is. Well, and probably I'm probably exaggerating that because I don't remember my very first, second,
or third. I know, if like 1 year old Rob going, hey, what are we doing?
Really? My parents bring a joint to me. It's like, we're going to listen to Willie Nelson. You got to do it right.
When you brought it up, the thing is, when I was younger, if we were going off of like childhood nostalgia, like instantly, mm-hmm. the record I like most associate with Christmas from that part of my life is the Reba McEntire Christmas record. So I definitely, country is like my first thought with Christmas, which I don't think everyone's is.
Yeah.
But I took to this like duck to water, man. This was great. And this Pretty Paper album passed the ultimate Christmas test for me, which was yesterday. Casey and I were decorating the Christmas tree and mm-hmm. I had Pretty Paper going. And it was
perfect
soundtrack to decorate a Christmas tree to.
That's right. It's a glove, man. Fits like a glove.
It is
not OJ's glove. It's like a
this great topical humor we have here. That's like when Jay-Z was rapping about OJ. And I kept thinking this was like in his newest record that he put out. And all I could think of was, like, you're only rapping about OJ because you watched that OJ documentary. That's not like a recent thing. I don't know, it made me upset.
I did not watch that documentary. I just want to throw that out there. Enough OJ for the Christmas spirit, everybody. Even though every Christmas morning I do have a mimosa.
And we listen to and I watch OJ Made in America. That's my Christmas celebration.
I mean, I have OJ with wine or champagne, sorry. Which is the same thing, right?
What's that?
Is wine and champagne, is that the same? I don't drink fancy.
No, they're not the same. I know they're not the same because I've had both and they're different. But other than, I mean, champagne is bubbly.
Okay.
Wine is flat.
Oh, okay. Well,
listener,
whatever.
Tell us the difference between champagne and wine as you understand it.
Yeah. But they both go fine with OJ, right?
No.
Orange juice.
I mean, I've never had wine and orange juice before, but maybe you're a trailblazer. Oh my Lord. Okay. So here's the deal. I don't even know how to get started. I guess we could start with best song. Why not?
Why not?
And go with,
I'm going to let you kick it off.
This is hard. And if
you can't, I think I can choose one.
I mean, I have one and it is really for me more just first thought, best thought. Like when I listen, mm-hmm. which are the ones that I always, if like I can't listen to the whole record, which usually I do like several times over in a day, I drive mm-hmm. people around me crazy. But if I'm listening to a Charlie Brown Christmas soundtrack, Christmas Is Coming is very the nice. One I'm probably going to listen to the most. It's just, and it's like, it's super joyous. I think lots of tracks on that record have a really kind of melancholy beauty to them that, yeah. I really appreciate, and there's some like haunting melodies and certain choir things in there that I appreciate, certain ones. Christmas Is Coming is just so bright and vibrant, and but it also has my favorite moments. You got to help me out. What is the classical music term when it's at a lower? You would know more than I would. That's why I should have researched.
Yeah, maybe.
But it's like dun 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 dun. Dun. Oh, I love because the way he plays that quiet part too, it's got just a little bit more lingered on the notes. There's just that little more emotional turn. It's such like that's the instrumental music that I've gotten more and more as I've just been immersed in it more in my older years, because you know how old I am. But that's the kind of emotion you can get out of just like a simple playing choice that every time I'm like, yeah, oh, beautiful. Wait, so, let's edit this in. Ready? Edit this in. When he plays that pianissimos.
Exactly. Beautiful. Took the words right out of my mouth, Colton. You took the words right out. I was about to say, damn. Now you look so much smarter than me.
Oh, I love it. And like that kind of like, like there's like the drums, because it's the trio, right? Upright bass and the drums. The drums are not like my favorite of all jazz drumming on a record, but it's exactly what it should do. All right. What is, are you listening to it again?
No. Okay. It's difficult because honestly, I think the best song out of these two records is on yours, but I should probably represent Willie. I love Jingle Bells, man. I love the way it all starts and just the little, here, I'll give you a quick taste. Love that little start.
Dashing through the snow and one horse open sweat.
And honestly, for as beautiful as I think that is, it's laughing all the way. Like, go get him, Jingle Bells. Here comes Santa Claus. But it's really tough to give best song to Willie on this because he's doing covers, except for Pretty Paper, which he did write.
I don't agree, because I think this goes back to something we've talked about a long time, not a long time, but when we were first talking about like Led Zeppelin, right? This idea of covers and taking a song that's already set and finding a way to arrange it. And the one thing I think with Christmas albums, right? I mean, that's like the enduring joke is that you put out a Christmas album because it's going to sell. Right.
Yeah.
Like that's like the Love Actually, right, joke behind turning one of your songs into a Christmas song just to like put a new pad of paper or whatever on it. Yeah. I think the best ones are ones where the artist is just like in their wheelhouse. Like, I don't want to, like, the reason I would buy a Willie Nelson Christmas album isn't because I just love Christmas songs. I love Willie Nelson.
Exactly.
And I want to hear him sing it. And that's exactly what these are. They're so, I didn't know how stripped down it was.
Yeah. There's no smoke and mirrors. It's like, it's going to be guitar, bass, drums, harmonica, and some electric keys.
It's, and the organ, weirdly enough, I think the organ is the MVP on that record.
I can get behind that. I still think harmonica has some shining moments, but it's laid back. Willie Nelson is like, it's so cool listening to it because it sounds like they went in for a day. It's like, hey, let's just play some Christmas tunes, jam it out for a minute. I'll Willie Nelson it the fuck up, you know. It's gonna be beautiful. But I was gonna say, honestly, probably the best song, I'm gonna go with what the best song is out of the two records, it's Linus and Lucy. It's the best song, maybe not favorite, but it's hands down the most classic, the most heralded. It's unbelievably awesome. I get it. It's a Peanuts theme song, everybody. But that's what makes it even cooler, is that this is the album that it shows up on, and then it turns into just like, yeah, that's Peanuts. It's not just Christmas Peanuts. It's Halloween. It's freaking every other episode. If you think Peanuts, that's the song. And it's so good.
And it's like, if you're going to learn piano, it's usually one of the first things you want to learn, right? Mm-hmm. It's one of the more recognizable. And it's that like constant, like,
well, and I love when it hits that. It's something that I've always admired with jazz, is the drumming in jazz is just, we're both drummers, but in no way are we jazz drummers. No offense, Colton.
No.
But I love when it hits that, like, down. It's just the hi-hat. It's just like, yes, brilliant. How many drummers do we know who it's like, they're obviously going to be hitting those toms pretty hard right there. It's like, no, man, just...
That's a very, like, that's the thing about jazz drumming, too, is it tends to incorporate the whole set more, but there's always, like... That's the thing that was always harder for me when I was learning, because when you learn drums, at least through a teacher, at least mine anyway, I did learn jazz drumming a little bit, like swing time. And it's working the hi-hat and the bass. And like a lot of the great jazz drummers, like I was just watching a clip of one of my favorites, Max Roach, go. And I have to send this to you later.
Please.
It's like a great example of totally the opposite of what we were talking about last time with jazz, like solo drumming. And it's him working the hi-hat and the kick drum to just such an impressive, crazy level. But I think this record is a great like stripped version. I was saying this is like a gateway kind of an album. And that's exactly it. I love in Linus and Lucy where all these breaks from like that main section are like these almost like a history book of jazz. Like there's a kind of a samba, There's like a swing time interlude. Yeah.
It's wonderful. But I would say, I think you can agree with me that maybe not favorite or whatever, but that's probably the best, or maybe has the best legacy. Definitely has the best legacy.
I agree with that. I think the reason I didn't choose it is, even on this record, and like this is like the very brief story behind this record is, mm-hmm. Vince Guaraldi had an album before this with a popular track that got like some play on the radio.
Yeah,
and he was invited to, which is also a very good song.
Yes. What was it called?
I know we're both thinking.
What's it called though? Cast Your Fate to the Wind.
Yeah. Yeah. Cast Your Fate to the Wind, which when you hear it, I mean, that's the thing about Vince Guaraldi is you can recognize, like, even if you don't know a lot about piano, which I don't, I can recognize when it's him playing.
Yeah, he definitely has that style to where he makes it his own, much like Bill Evans. Yeah. Like it's those two kind of have this. It's jazz, but it's not confusing jazz. You can really follow it. It's
much. I mean, we were just, my wife and I were listening to Thelonious Monk earlier. Like mm-hmm. there are like Charles Mingus, like people I associate with like more challenging kind of jazz recordings for sure. I think there's that constant, like Vince Guaraldi loves to use that like ongoing pattern with the left hand, right?
Mm-hmm.
That he kind of spruces with the right. So he gets Cast Your Fate to the Wind. They invite him to do the soundtrack for the Charlie Brown Christmas. Mm-hmm. And I think actually, was it Vince? No, it was Dave Brubeck that they originally asked, which would have been crazy. I would have loved to hear a Dave Brubeck.
We never would have gotten Lionel and Lucy.
I know. But that's the thing is, when I hear that song, I just don't think Christmas, even though like he originally recorded it for the Christmas album.
No, I agree. I don't think Christmas. It's the Peanuts song. I'm like, open up the freaking album with this.
That's right.
You know,
start with the banger. Why not? Yeah. Can I tell you my, because I do, if I'm going one-to-one, like my favorite on Willie Nelson, which I think is, I don't know, I really love this album. This is in my rotation now for favorite Christmas albums. Good. I loved White Christmas. I feel a little cheated because the version of this record I listened to on YouTube, the order is not the same as the track listing on Wikipedia.
Oh, yeah, because White Christmas is second.
Oh, see, I'm looking at it, White Christmas is first.
No, Pretty Paper is first.
See, okay, it is all confusing. Because, on YouTube, right? On YouTube, Pretty Paper is first, and then White Christmas. But on the official track listing, White Christmas is the opener, which feels like a mistake.
Yeah, and on Spotify, Pretty Paper's opener, and White Christmas is second.
It's possible that the track listing on Wikipedia is not correct, which I would believe. Anywho, I thought that White Christmas, and I originally, because it opens with the organ, right?
Yep.
And every time I think it's going to be Danny Boy.
Which I would love to hear Willie Nelson sing that. Why not?
Has he not sang Danny? I'm almost certain there's a Danny Boy Willie Nelson out there.
I feel like Willie Nelson has sung a lot of songs. Like damn near everything.
Everything. But I thought that White
featured
Christmas
on Andre 3000's album.
Oh my god. No bars. No bars in that record. But White Christmas is one of my favorite Christmas songs, period.
Yeah.
I think it's beautiful. And I think it's I think I was just mentioning, our Christmas song's good. That's just a brilliant song. It's so
really
perfect. And what, I love.
Is it the lyrics? Is it the vocal melody?
It is the lyrics. I think it's the thoughtfulness of the melody, right? And like how it ends with that lower vocal melody end. I think that's when songs end in that lower register to me. There's just something that feels even a little bit more like contemplative and reflective. And it's the perfect kind of a Christmas song. It's beautiful. There's like a little bit of like lingering melancholy in the periphery, which somehow I am always drawn to.
Of course.
Great. And his voice is so delicate and perfect. I don't know. I loved it.
He's so effortless in his singing. That's something I'm very, very jealous of. I'm jealous of.
Yeah, your microphone is green with envy. It's crazy.
It is. That's a very good point.
All right. Are we okay? I guess we could do, I mean, I think we both have a song that we would rather skip.
None for Willie Nelson for me.
I don't have necessarily one. I will say this, though. I think in Pretty Paper, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer features like the saddest guitar solo I've ever heard. I think that's the one thing on that record. Yeah. And like other ones, too, I think they're great. But it's like just the saddest little acoustic. It sounds like one of my solos.
That's why I loved it, man.
Just play the melody. And like for a lot of the other tracks, I think it works. On Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, that little solo is just like a...
It's Nirvana, you know? It's the play the vocal melody just as the solo.
But yeah, Worst is an ongoing Know Your Rights theme, at least for Colton Saylor, one of your
co-hosts. It's your turn still? Okay.
Oh my God, no. You go...
Well, I think I'm going to meet you right around where you're coming, because I have a feeling you chose one of these two, so I'll go with the second one. Why is Hark the Herald Angels Sing on there?
I mean, why is Fur Elise on there?
That makes more sense to me. I don't know why. I just think of Linus. I'm like, Linus is the piano player, right?
No.
Linus is the one with the blanket, right?
Yeah. The piano guy is Schroeder.
Schroeder, yeah. That's why I think Fur Elise, okay, fine, whatever. And it's not even all of Fur Elise, which I guess can kind of make it pointless as well. But yeah, no, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and it totally fits into what I think you're going to say, so I'll let you go ahead and take it away.
Just children singing is creepy. Just don't do it. Like, when I hear, and I think Hark the Herald Angels Sing is the more forgivable of the two, because it's a minute 55. It's over briefer. Pretty quick.
It's briefer
it's,
for you.
It's shorter than the other one. Those two, like, and the other one is Christmas Time Is Here, the vocal version. Because, yeah, like, here's the thing. Isn't it crazy to think Christmas Time Is Here? That's an original. That's a Vince Guaraldi original. That's one of those songs that's so, you're just like always thinking of it. You're like, oh yeah, that's like a traditional that he covered. No,
yeah, I guess that makes sense. I never really thought of that, but that's a really good point.
And that is a beautiful song. It's so, and like to close out that side one, and then why they decided to throw kids in to sing.
I mean, I can find the rationale why this occurred.
Oh, I think we both could, right? It's Peanuts. They got kids. The kid. I mean, it's likely not made for 30-something-year-olds to listen to all the time. And well, I think if I remember the research correctly, like one of the like younger girls, then like a woman, like an older woman who was like describing her experience recording on it, like, yeah, like we went out and got like ice cream after. It was like one of the most fun times I've had. That's great.
Yeah. But
man, did they all sound creepy. Like, tell me a good song with children singing.
War Is Over.
But that's okay. But is that the good part of that song? Are you like, here they come. Here comes the kids singing. This is the best part.
A little. They're part of the best part that comes up, but it's not just the kids. It's also Yoko and John.
You know, I just don't. I don't know. Like, I always think of
there's Manchester this Manchester Orchestra song that you really should check out, buddy.
I think that's like the fifth or sixth time that we brought up Simple Math. I just wish someone was with them in the studio going, nah, I don't think we need that. I don't think we need that orchestra.
I hate to break it to you. There were like five other people in there going like, of course we need this. We got them here.
But anywho, yeah, I don't know, man. I think Christmas Time Is Here is the worst of the two. Hark the Herald Angels Sing is a beautiful song. Yeah. Like I do tend to think that secular Christmas music is the better of the two. Say, religious, yeah, Christmas music I don't have a ton of time for.
See, I can totally dig it.
I think that one, like, what's like a good religious
Silent Night by Willie Nelson.
I guess that is, huh?
You're putting me on the damn spot with some of these questions. Like, what's a really good song with kids singing? I'm like, what the fuck?
All right, well, the whole idea of that is there is none.
Jackson 5. Just,
you know, that's not the same thing. That's
kids singing. Kids singing, dude. ABC.
ABC, dude. My guy, baby. Oh, my Lord. Okay. Are we... I don't even know. You
it's
know what?
Really...
I have an underrated.
All right.
And it's so simple, but it's... Do you know all this time when I've heard Blue Christmas, like, I never understood necessarily that it's somewhat, it's like a play off of White Christmas, like saying, oh, your Christmases will be white, well, I'll have a blue Christmas. Clicked. I was yesterday years old when I heard that song, and I went, oh, because it's like not a white Christmas, a blue, and that's a great version of Blue Christmas.
There you go. All right, cool. Well, I'm glad that's the whole reason this was the main reason we needed to listen to this album. I was like, I just don't think Colton gets Blue Christmas.
Well, the version that's probably weirdly clearest in my head is the Bright Eyes version of Blue Christmas, which, what's your mileage on the Bright Eyes, Saddle Creek Christmas record?
Not a whole lot. I have listened. Believe it or not, you know who actually plays that now over the last few years is my mom.
No kidding.
Yeah, she became a big Conor Oberst fan.
Hey, all right.
Yeah, I accidentally left a CD, like one of my mix CDs, in her car, in her truck, years and years ago. And she went into her truck and she fires it on. And why can't I remember the name of the song? The one where he starts with him talking. I did a cover of it.
That's right. Well, I was going to say, you covered At the Bottom of Everything for, I think, your mother's birthday present.
Yeah, it was a birthday present for her because she just turned on the car and that song just happened to pop up. And she's like, what is this? Ooh. You know, and she came in later and went, you left your CD. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm sorry. I figured she was going to say this music's horrible. And she was like, who was that first? What was that first song? And she loved it, and she played it again for about another, you know, my mom's very, very good at playing one song over and over again. And so, so I got to hear a lot of it, but yeah. And so that's how I listen to it. But I don't really like dive into it too much. I haven't really given it a good sit down. Maybe in a year I will.
I think it's about what, if you're just imagine Conor Oberst singing any of these Christmas songs. And it's exactly what that is. And it's
him trying to be Willie.
I kind of wish he hadn't have done it, but like, step aside, let the Willie guys take over.
That's right. Right.
Do you have an underrated?
I can find one.
Merry Christmas, everybody. This is Christmas. I mean, sure.
I really love what they do with O Tannenbaum. I love how it starts off with a little bit more of the traditional and then how it just bleeds into that jazzy, you know. That's just good. That's some good feeling jazz right there. I just love that. I love their take on it.
And it's that great, like, kind of more classic opener. And you're like, oh, this is just a Christmas tree, right?
Yeah.
Set up. And all of a sudden, you're right. Like, when it hits in that swing time, I mean, that's probably, like, the gateway to jazz. We're talking about this as, like my first jazz record kind of a deal, which is not a bad thing to say. I think it's great. It is pretty great little drop they have. And it kind of sets, like you said, the tone for the rest of the record.
And the damn Christmas special.
That's right. I don't connect this. What's weird, I've probably seen the Charlie Brown Christmas special like 4 or 5 times.
We're on the exact same boat.
Okay.
We're on the exact same. I just remember the tree. I remember the pathetic tree.
Yeah, I love Peanuts. And like I'll like read Peanuts comics all day, my wife and I both. But I don't watch that special as much. Also, because you usually have to pay for it. And who's got time for that?
I was thinking about watching it today, but that was anticipating that we were going to be recording tomorrow.
So that's right.
Like, and I'm not going to watch it.
Screw
it. It's not that important. Not that important.
Oh, man. I was going to tell you, I don't have an overrated. Like, what am I going to say? It's like, you know what I've been thinking? Is that Frosty the Snowman is overrated.
Yeah, it just seems so unnecessary. Though, you know what would be probably the best option if I didn't already choose it as the best song? Probably would have been Linus and Lucy. That would probably been the closest to, like, let's call this overrated.
But it's, like, I mean, I think what, we've...
Fuck it, for Elise. For Elise, yeah. That's the overrated one on...
Beethoven, you've just been served.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they don't go into the bridge. They don't go into that, like, dum, bum, bum, so I'm a little let down.
They've added so many bonus tracks to A Charlie Brown Christmas that aren't, I didn't count necessarily as in the original, but I know in like later versions they've included like Great Pumpkin Waltz, which I love very much, but also I think the Thanksgiving track, they keep adding, and I keep thinking, if you took out the child singing songs, keep for release, why not? But
I guess, yeah. It's overrated, which everybody, overrated doesn't mean bad
song. We're hitting all the Know Your Rights bingo today.
That's right. That's right. Freaking, and I mean, I don't see why they did What Child Is This and Green Sleeves. Just choose the version. All right.
What are we doing, people? Do you know there is a track? It's not on this, but it's a Vince Guaraldi track. And it's, I think it was on a Charlie Brown special. It's called Little Birdie, and maybe you can throw it in here where people can hear just a snippet as I talk about it.
Yeah.
It's like, I wish it was on here. It's just not a Christmassy track, but it's another one that I think of when I think of this record, and it's actually where Vince Guaraldi's singing. I think it's one of the only tracks that he recorded for Charlie Brown, at least for Peanuts, that's him singing, and it's pretty freaking great. And it's a Little Birdie.
Well, now I have to play it.
Oh, so great. And I would have easily subbed out Vocal Christmas Time Is Here for Little Birdie.
Oh, I know you would have been.
It's Woodstock, man. Oh, my God.
I love Woodstock.
I'm looking at the Willie Nelson track listing here. I can't think. There's not one track on here that I don't think I'd listen to. Wasn't there Christmas Blues? Is that
Christmas?
On there?
Christmas Blues is great, man. It's pretty much exactly what you'd think they were doing in studio. Let's jam really quick, and it's cool. It feels good. I don't really associate it with. I only associate it with Christmas because it's on this album. But I'm like, it doesn't sound too Christmassy to me.
I was gonna say that's one of those tracks where the only thing that makes it Christmassy is that the title of the song is Christmas Blues.
Yeah,
but. It's pretty damn good. I don't know, like that whole Pretty Paper record. Funny enough, the one song we haven't talked about is Pretty Paper. Yeah. But
written by Willie Nelson, actually written by him. And he gave it to he showed it to somebody in his label, and they decided that they wanted Roy Orbison to perform it. So he has the first single of it. And then I believe Willie Nelson, it was like 1963 Roy Orbison released his version, written by Willie Nelson, and then in 64 Willie recorded it, and then he recorded it later again for the album Pretty Paper. And just a nice little side note for everybody, Roy Orbison and I share a birthday.
Hey, just a look at that.
Nice little side note for you.
I feel like just going track by track, but I feel like at this point, is there any songs you haven't gotten to talk about on either?
Well, I mean, it really is one of those, we could go track for track with Pretty Paper, and it's just talking about Willie Nelson recording a classic Christmas song.
Here Comes Santa Claus is pretty great. Like, I think certain songs.
I love his vibe behind it.
Yeah.
It just, yeah, there, he has just this perfect little, and it's just the vocal melody, but it's the way he sings it. Just, here comes Santa Claus, here comes, and it's, I don't know, you hear other versions, it's going to be like a lot more poppy, and just Willie Nelson, just it's the Willie Nelson cool.
There's a little like hitch in the get up when he sings it, right? It gives it just that little bit of twang, and it just feels like a song that was made for him. Like, I think I am not like a huge Willie Nelson fan. Not same. Like, don't dislike him. Just sure. Not someone I have like tons of airwaves for. But a lot of these songs, when I hear it, I'm like, it sounds like they were written for him, because his approach to like the arrangements and everything, like the not like maybe like four instruments tops on a lot of these.
Yeah,
maybe five.
If you see live footage of Willie Nelson playing, he is so loose and just relaxed, and he's one of those kings of where it almost sounds like he started the vocal melody late, but he'll find a way to still resolve it just fine. You know, there's a performance of him doing Pretty Paper in 1993, and it's just him on acoustic, and it's so loose, and there's no real metronome to it, but it vibes to, when I say there's no metronome, there's not like this consistent rhythm to it, but it's just the way he sings it and plays it. And I'm like, that's just cool, man. I don't know. I mean, maybe he's probably high, actually. I mean, I don't know why I said maybe he's high, you know, but that's Willie Nelson, man. I love it. I love it. Oh, he's just got that cool. He's got that factor to him.
So best album, worst album. Let's know. I'm kidding. That's
I'm going to have to say, yeah, I think we already established that at the beginning, but I don't even know. Should we do ratings?
I give them each five Christmas stockings out of five.
There you go. I give them five of those stars that those shepherds followed out of five of those stars that those shepherds followed.
Here's the thing, people. Hopefully, maybe you've been listening to this while you're, I don't know, rapid gifts. You're going to work because we're all adults and we have to work up or near Christmas, unless you're a teacher. Boom, boom, boom.
Oh, Colton. I don't know what you're talking about. I've had a week off from work.
Yeah. Yeah. You've had a nice week of relaxation. But
plenty of relaxing, plenty of lying down.
I'm looking at my my calendar here, and yes. I believe this is the case. Oh, no. Never mind. This is not the final show of 2023.
No. In fact, it's. Let me
shut my mouth. Cut that.
I made some backdoor deals with Colton so I get to choose this.
Don't even. This. Let's just start over.
Welcome.
So we're at the end of our Christmas talk. That was a lot of fun, man.
That was really fun. I think the draft, I hope that everybody enjoyed that, because I would like to do it again next year. We could do something like Christmas movies. We could find.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. Christmas musicals, whatever it might be. And well, we want to hear from all of you. What are your go-to Christmas albums?
Yes, please. Please. We'll bring it up next year.
Next year, maybe we'll talk about it. Maybe we'll criticize them and make you feel bad about it. Yeah. No, we would never do that.
No, not at all.
We're not mean. Especially this time of year. Let us know what you're doing. And Merry Christmas to all of you. We hope that you, what is it? Like, I don't know what I like to eat. I don't have a good Christmas food.
I don't really have a go-to. Even though, I got to say, those green bean casseroles with the crispy onions on top.
That's clutch.
I love it. I love it, man.
That's pretty great. We might make prime rib. That's pretty good.
That's not bad. It's not bad.
Well, I think we are gearing up for our final episode of our very first year as a podcast.
Yeah, man. Colton, I got to say, we didn't get to do, but since Thanksgiving is actually technically coming up for the two of us, I'm really thankful for this podcast. I'm thankful for you. This has been a really fun go.
Buddy, this has been so much fun. And like, just real talk, and maybe we'll do more of this reflection next time, or a few times before or after. But this is like, if this started really as me being like, I want like more of an excuse to have Rob more in my life, because I miss you, buddy. And this is great. And the fact that other people, weirdly enough, people listen to us.
We have people who listen to us. We're not blowing up the airwaves, but that's fine.
Whoever wants to turn us on and join in and just talk about art, talk about stuff, that's great.
Yeah, we definitely appreciate you, and I hope that I hope that when Colton and I are laughing on here, you're laughing with us. I wouldn't be surprised if you're not.
If you're laughing at us, that's not a problem.
Yeah, laugh at us. Joy. Easy. Yeah.
Joy to your lives, buddy. Tell me, what is it that we are listening to?
All right,
final 2023.
Let's get these hints in. It's going to be our first foray into this genre. Just throwing that out there.
Can't wait
to help out. All right, so first hint, I'm going to go with world. It's pretty fucking vague. I know
that's pretty vague. Wait.
All right, this one, this next hint is for our producer, who we haven't mentioned today, but that's just it's Christmas. I didn't want to give him too hard a time, but the next hint is Lucky. Oh, I thank you, Rob. Thank you, Colton. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you too, Lucky.
Merry Christmas, Lucky. We're sorry we fired you so close to the holidays.
We'll see if we see more Lucky and come next year.
By the way, we are recording. I'm seeing a little recording button. We're good.
Oh, God, thank you for.
I've been eyeing it the whole time. Right, I have nothing. Okay, World and Lucky, and a genre we haven't done before. I'm instantly thinking hip hop, but I mean, I guess Erykah Badu is on the.
It is not hip hop. All right, let's see. Helmets.
World, Lucky, Helmets.
Yes. Let's see if I can go.
Is this old or new? Oh, give me a general time frame.
This is like early 2000s.
Early 2000s.
Well, actually, no. Let me go. We're talking like late 90s and then early 2000s. They really get going. So there's a hint. All right, let me try to make the hint.
Oh, my God. Stop. I think you got it. Jimmy World?
Helmets?
World? Lucky, Helmets? Lucky Denver Mint? There's got to be a Helmet song in there somewhere. Oh, what a bummer. Okay.
And that's totally a genre we've never done before.
Okay, I'm totally lost now. Okay, one more clue and then I haven't gotten it.
They are a duo. Okay, hold on. No, you're going to get this.
Give me a lyric. This is the longest this has taken for either of us. This is great.
One more time.
Oh, my God. Are we doing Daft Punk?
Daft Punk, man. Dancy, we're coming up on the new year.
I'm ready for this. Let's do it.
I got four albums.
That's a great, you know what? That is a great New Year's track. I am ready to go. Oh my God.
I've been holding on to this for a while. This is why I wanted to do New Year's. I was like, I think I got a good dance act for us to like.
I'm very impressed. I would have not have gone with that, not in a bad way. And I have some very explicit Daft Punk memories, like
really?
In my brain. Well, just like being at like random parties and when like One More Time comes on, and literally everyone loses their minds because weirdly, I do still think Jimmy Eat World applies to most of those. But
it wasn't bad, but I was like Helmet and we have listened to this before.
Helmet got me. I'm going to be bopping around for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, man. We got, let's do it. You mean the New Year?
The New Year.
This is all for the New Year, everybody.
Oh, my God. Well, I hope all of you had as much fun as we did. Merry Christmas, Rob.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, Colton. Merry Christmas, listeners. And
happy whatever your holiday is also. We're a Christmas pot. We both celebrate Christmas, so we tend to say it more. But happy everything. Anything.
Happy anything.
Just be happy. Do something you love.
Yes.
Hug a loved one. Tell people you love that you love them because it's all very great.
Yes. And be appreciative of this moment.
That's right. Be the best advice. And I think both of us are, there's been a lot of stuff that have happened this year.
But remember the ones that you love that are still here.
That's right. And I think the phrase I've always enjoyed was be where your feet are.
I like that.
Which I appreciate. Everybody, we love you. Enjoy That's yourself. Right. Let us know what you're doing this Christmas. Invite us over.
Yeah, please.
We can't make it. We're busy. But.
Yeah. But I mean, I'll have Colton put my address in the show description and send me some gifts. I don't mind.
Text Rob, send him gifts, send him pictures, do whatever you got to do. All right, everybody. Happy holidays.
And to all a good night.
Oh, Santa's back.
Santa. What
happened? Sorry there. I was
And
it's really
night.
Just me. I'm lucky.
Oh, it's Lucky. You know what, Lucky? We'll keep you on a little bit longer.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Bye, everybody.